You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Wallow!
The Gulo Sessions with Otto and JC.
What the fuck? Well,
that's a swear word. All
right, welcome back to Wallow with Otto and JC. And we have the wonderful Iris G with us here in BFM. Iris, how are you doing?
Hi, everyone. This is actually kind of late for me. I'm so Nana vibes, but I'm loving it.
That's very understandable. It is unnecessarily late, but... You know,
we're all here.
We keep it going.
We're just gonna get straight into it, shall we?
Yes.
Period. So I have known Iris honestly from online presence, like only, and then I got to know her throughout the years from our Converse days.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna let it take it. I'm gonna give you the mic now so you can give yourself a proper introduction, so
yes.
Take it away.
Yeah, my name is Iris G. I'm a Filipino artist from Avondale, or as I like to say, Avondale. And Converse was actually such a buzzy experience. Very lucky for the opportunities that they gave. And got to meet a lot of cool artists like yourself. So that was probably the best part, getting to meet people that I otherwise probably wouldn't have.
And like for me, I always have seen, when I saw you on the like the main feed for the Converse team, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to meet this girl, because like
what?
One Filipina sister right here. you know
yeah, thanks. So
because I have to like see like, you know, my inspirations and also the ones that I really wanted to look up to in my skin, or like my race as well, because I want to see representation.
What the heck?
Buzzy.
I love that.
let's get right into it. So your new song GBS just released last Friday. Do you want to like talk about it with us real quick?
I wrote it probably 2 or 3 years back. And it was probably just like a reflection of the past people that I've dated. That always said that I was too much. So I think it was kind of just like me wrapping my head around that and trying to convince myself that it's not me that's too much, it's them that's not enough. Like, they're not enough to rise up to where I was. So that's actually what the song is about. And I was kind of obsessed with cars at the time, so hence the car references, I guess.
So just based on the lyrics, you know, is it you moving too fast, as like the first few lines kind of say,
yeah,
or is it that they're not enough?
I'm so guilty of that. Yeah. What do they call it? They call it love bombing. I'm like, unfortunately, so bad at that. And I've seen a few memes where like Filipinos are so guilty of that.
I would also say that
it's
for
just
myself.
Being passionate. There's nothing wrong with being passionate though.
Okay, yes, yeah, Slay. That's what it is, guys. That's what we're calling it.
Hey, like we're not judging, but hey, it's just a fact.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to talk about some cultural references into the music video as well, because you were in a boxing match.
Yeah,
because obviously some parts
Pac-Man,
in the film. Yeah. Was that one of your references, Manny?
Yes, of course.
Oh yeah.
We like originally, I wanted the music video to be very fast and furious, sexy girls with cars, and then I was like, oh, I don't know if I could pull that off really. And then I was talking to JJ about it, the videographer, and he's also Filipino. And then we were just like, oh, what if we just make it like a Swagapino universe? And I was like, I don't know if I know enough Filipinos to like to be in the video and make it convincing. And they were like, oh, no, just bring everyone. Like, everyone can be a Swagapino. And then that was kind of just like the birth of it. Yeah.
Yeah, we saw a cameo from friends from Backshots as well, like Ding and Barrett and Ataki as well.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, honorary Swagapinos.
Yeah. Hey, they're now part of the family now.
Yeah.
So, what does the word Swagapino mean? Can you give us a rundown of that term?
It's probably like, it's a fashion era from the 2010s, I would say. And actually, the best reference of this is Zendaya.
Oh, wow.
Have you seen like
yes.
the photos of her from back in the
right.
those days?
The Disney
that is,
days.
Yeah, that's Swagapino.
Is Zendaya like an honorary Filipino?
Seems
well?
That way, yeah. It's just like, yeah, the snapbacks and just like acting real swag, but it's mainly that look. Yeah, I was kind of aiming for.
I remember those memes from like, 2012 or whatever. It's like born Swagapino or something.
Yeah. That's me, bro.
Yeah.
I feel like you should make yourself that reference now, I guess. Take that as your own.
Swagapino? Yeah.
Fuck yeah. What do you mean? But is this one version of the new Iris G era that's coming up?
Dude, there are so many eras of me. And I feel like it's every time I change my hair, there's just like a new me that births out of there. Mm. But I think I've like always struggled with identity. There's a few like essays and stuff I wrote when I was like year 11 and stuff, of just like not knowing who I was and not knowing how to put a word to who I was. So I think I've just like, when I think about myself, I've always thought of myself as like a chameleon. And I think that's how I've ended up portraying myself in music as well.
Mm. Well, now that you're speaking about music, I wanted to talk about your influences and the references that you have for your artistry. Who were your like biggest influence when you were growing up and to your music now?
Interesting. I guess it's like every Filipino, we grow up listening to a lot of ballads. So like Celine Dion. My mom actually played a lot of the Beatles growing up. But like when I started forming my own music taste, I used to listen to a lot of like emo. So I found it hilarious when Secondhand Serenade was coming out, that Fall For You song, because I freaking loved that song growing up.
Did you have it on like, sorry, this is like a out of the gate question, yeah. But what did you have it like pirated?
Oh, everything was pirated. LimeWire, hell yeah. Everything, yeah. So that was like a big phase of mine. And then it turned into folk. And I was just like on that folk buzz for ages. And then I kind of just fell into R&B. So like Summer Walker and SZA and stuff. Mm. I like big influences. I'm a big fan of Coco Jones too at the moment.
Oh my gosh. Did you hear her new like, well, not recent, but like last year's single? Was that one of you?
That one?
Yeah.
Oh, I played that so many times. Like, it's actually ridiculous how many times I streamed that song.
Have you ever thought of, like, making certain songs and they turning into your own? Because my next question kind of, like, leads into that where does your music influence you solely because you want to make it, not because your friends are asking you to make it?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Interesting. I've always felt like music, like I was compelled to make music. So if there was a song that I needed to write, it's not because someone could have told me to write it, like, oh, I want you to write about this. But it still stems from this need of like wanting to tell that story. Mm. And it's almost like, yeah, I don't know. It's like God takes over and then he lets that out. That's how I feel.
Has it been like a therapeutic session every time that you write it down or
everyone says like it's cathartic to make art. I don't feel that way though. I feel like I get more mental breakdowns from music than the clarity that it gives me. I don't know what that is, what that's about. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's not that I want to make music, it's I have to. That's how I feel.
I like that.
Yeah. Most of the time I feel burdened by it, actually, about making art.
Why do you feel burdened?
I'd rather just, like, not do it. Like, I feel so... They always say artists are tormented, and, like, it's such a cliche, but I feel tormented inside. Mm. I'm saying that while laughing, but, like...
Because it's kind of like, it's like who you are, you know, like you are an artist. So it's like, if you're not creating, then it's sort of like as musicians ourselves, sometimes it feels like, you know, when we're not creating, it's like, what are we doing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but I don't know. I feel that while creating. Maybe it's just like the vulnerability of it. Like, I'd rather just keep things to myself maybe, but I just like can't, like it has to come out.
Mm, right.
So yeah, I'm like quite a control freak, so maybe that's where it comes from. I don't like to give away that control.
Nah, that's fair enough, though. You want to have that like sense of security for yourself, you know?
Yeah, could be it. Oh my gosh, I feel like I'm in therapy.
Fair enough.
I love this, guys. You're healing me.
Honestly, like, this is like what we do for most artists anyway.
A show is basically a therapy session.
That's so wild.
Free therapy.
Love it.
We're going to talk about the break that you had for music, because did you do anything in that 2-year break when you wrote
my Tereo song? I like keep unintentionally taking these breaks. I think it probably ties into what I was saying before. Like, I don't really like the vulnerability of releasing music. So I'll always, like, ever since I started writing songs when I was maybe 12, I'll have a period of just like being super busy with music, and then I'll just like go dead, and then I'll come back a few years later and then go dead again. It's not something that I do on purpose. I think I kind of just, I end up just needing a break from that, or maybe just like of people knowing me, I guess. And then I'm like, okay, I'm ready to be known again. Hello, it's me.
And then do you feel like you have some fresh new experiences to draw on for the next summer project?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time the breaks are productive. Like, I am writing music in that time frame. And then I think, like, as months go on by, I'm trying to get the courage to release again. And then I finally have it. And then I go. And then I go quiet again.
Right, right. Yeah. The next question I wanted to ask was actually about that single before that break, Aroha Tauke. Like, what was it like to write a song in Te Reo? Like, you know, have you ever
such
done anything like that before?
No. I kind of battled with it internally as a Kiwi-born Filipino who lost her mother tongue. There was almost like a guilt that I was doing this song in Te Reo and not in Tagalog. So I actually had to, I consulted a few like fire in my life and asked them if it was okay for me to take this opportunity, just because of that kind of internal struggle that I was going through. And they said, if Māori have seen this potential in you and they've given you this opportunity, then you should take it. And so that's what I did. And yeah, that song actually like low-key blew up and got like pretty decent streams. So it's like, it's just so wild to me that people enjoy the song and they want to listen to it.
Mm. Yeah. And then going off of that, do you think that we could get a Tagalog song in the future as well?
I would love to. Yeah.
Is that us?
Yeah. but it's like I said, I just have such a, there's so much stuff I have to work through before I even go down that avenue. I just feel so like, because the backstory of me losing my mother tongue is because I was bullied out of it by Filipinos in New Zealand.
Wow.
Because right. I had a Kiwi accent when I spoke. So naturally I kind of just like stopped speaking it. And then I think for me to face that, well, to speak Tagalog again and then face that is kind of a lot for me at the moment. But it's something that I would love for myself in the future.
Mm. Otto, sorry, I have my mind just blanked out.
Okay, then moving forward as well, would you like to tell us about your upcoming EP as well? I got my driving license
at 25. yes, that is a true story. I got my full driver's license when I turned 25. It's kind of morbid because I always had an idea that I would die from a car crash when I turned 25. What? Yeah, it's actually morbid as hell. And I've always had that feeling since I was a kid, like that was how I was going to die and I would die young. So then when I turned 25 and I was still alive, I was like, oh my gosh. I wouldn't say like the songs are a celebration or anything. It's just more of a timestamp of where I was in my life at that time. So I'm very excited to release it. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Is there anything else that you can like add into that? Or what are we expecting for the EP?
Teasers.
Yeah.
Small ones.
More car references.
Okay,
that's
cool.
All I'll say.
Is it just going to be like an EP full of like car related songs?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. As a Filipino artist, taking a different route from, obviously, we've mentioned your
ballads.
Do you find your like music representation or yourself in like in the Aotearoa music scene? Cause, like,
in New Zealand, true.
Yeah. Because like there's like a big thing about Filipinos like everywhere in the world doing like all sorts of different like genres.
Mm.
But how do you see your music being more represented now?
No, I don't think it is being represented in New Zealand, actually. There are some, like, amazing R&B artists in the homeland. Denise Julia is, like, one of my favorites. And then some cool R&B hip-hop coming out of L.A. And I would say even Australia, there's a few, like, really cool Filipina artists. And then New Zealand, yeah, we're a little bit behind in that respect. I feel like we've got a lot of... Asians kind of in that maybe folky songwriter space, but not so much, R&B, which is interesting. Because when I grew up, if we were doing like a cultural dance, I remember like instead of Filipinos doing like tinikling or something, like actual cultural, we'd do hip hop. So like I know that it's such a big thing for Filipinos. We love R&B and hip hop, but I don't know why there's such a lack of representation here.
Right. Maybe it's just like a new thing. It's taking a while to develop.
Yeah, it could be.
And maybe just on the topic of identity, you know, what's it been like, you know, being like an openly queer Filipino artist as well? You know, have you had any challenges with that, you know, within like the wider, you know, culture of like New Zealand or even within the Filipino community?
I probably feel more safe announcing or just being gay in front of Kiwis than I do Filipinos, which is kind of sad, but I think it's just because the majority of us are very Catholic. So I always have it in the back of my mind, like, oh, maybe I'll just say that my partner is my friend or... Mm-hmm. Like, even when I was scouting for Filipino locations for the music video, I, like, didn't want to mention that the song was about a girl or... And, like, I was hoping that they wouldn't hear the pronouns and stuff. But I don't know if that's a reality now. I would hope that we've grown from that. But I still carry like a lot of that fear, I think.
Honestly, like from another openly queer Filipino like artist as well, I feel like that's such a really important thing to talk about because people that are growing up in those spaces, especially like I'm going to say high school, because people would look up to you for that.
Yeah. I remember being in school and like if there was an openly gay couple, I'd be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's so important to see people like you around, I think, and to see people like you that are succeeding.
I think you're succeeding.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you.
No, you are. You are, definitely.
I just had a conversation with someone about like one of the songs I'm working on is about how I feel like a disappointment. So that's just so... I was just talking about this before coming in here. So it's crazy that you say that to me.
Again, this is another person who looked up to you from like another Filipina, like Filipino artist to another Filipino artist.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
All right. And then before we go on and actually play the new track, maybe just a couple more questions. Do you have any Filipino artists that are favorites of yours that you'd like to shout out?
Yes. Denise Julia is actually my favorite. I think she's so cool. Just kind of that lane that she's in. She's like the number one Filipino artist on Spotify. So she's like really up there for me in terms of like goal setting. And Ray Leslie, I've been a fan of her for ages.
Cool. Okay, so and then going forward, okay, we know that we have like an EP coming out. Any gigs happening possibly in the future?
We will see. I'm like so precious about that. So if there is gonna be a gig, that's gonna be like a big thing because I'm not trying to be doing that.
Okay. Right. Do you like performing or?
I do, but like I feel like I have certain projects where I think it needs that, and for this one, I just like don't have that need.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But there's like future projects where I would love to do like a live show.
All right.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.